Welcome to Heart of the Psalmist, cultivating the heart of creatives. Now, your host, Sharvis Whitted.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to another episode of Heart of the Psalmist. I'm your host, Sharvis Whitted. This is a show where we're asking God to create in us clean hearts so that we can create for Him. I'm so glad you joined today. And I always want to reiterate that while this show targets those serving in creative arts ministry, dancers, singers, musicians, what we say and what we talk about and what we teach can be applied to anyone. We all were born to be God's image bearers, to represent Him in the earth. And what we allow God to do in our heart is central to accomplishing that end. You can't be an image bearer, you can't represent God if your heart isn't toward Him. Because as I always say on this show, Proverbs 4:23, we must keep our hearts and guard it with all diligence, for out of it flows every issue of life. Let's go ahead and dive into today's topic, the three W's of worship. The three W's of worship. And I'm going to be focusing on a very familiar passage of scripture, Romans 12, verse 1. And I'm reading from the New American Standard. Here's what it says. This is Paul speaking. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now, this is, as I said earlier, one of the best known verses in the Bible. If you've been to church any amount of time, this is one of those verses you're just going to hear. And for good reason, Paul is laying down some key theological terms and concepts, things that are foundational to the Christian faith. But today I want to talk about what this verse teaches us about worship. What it teaches us about being worshipers. And I'm going to call it the three W's of worship. You ready? Here they are. First thing is what it is. Second thing, where it flows from. And lastly, why we do it. Those are three W's. What is worship? Where worship flows from? And why we worship. Ready? So let's jump into the first W. So what is worship? According to Paul in this verse, let's go back and read a portion of it. By the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. Notice the language of sacrifice in this verse. It's key to understanding what worship is. Now, if you read the Bible, you'll understand clearly that worship has always been accompanied by sacrifice. And you see that clearly in the Old Testament. Now, of course, in the New Covenant, the form of worship changes. In the Old Testament, they would sacrifice things like property that they owned, such as an animal or a grain. You can read about that in the book of Leviticus. But in the New Covenant, as we see in the New Testament, the sacrifice becomes you and I, our living bodies. You see, Paul does not tell us to make a sacrifice, but to be a sacrifice. And Paul, in this verse, is using bodies, the word bodies, as a reference to our entire self. You see, worship doesn't happen when we sing, necessarily, or when we dance, necessarily. Worship truly is when we give ourselves entirely to God, entirely over for His purposes, entirely for His will. When we surrender our heart, mind, body, soul, our gifts and our talents, all that is in us, we lay it on the altar, our whole life as a living sacrifice. We say, God, whatever you want to do, that's what I'm going to do. That, my friends, is worship. I think Abraham gives us a very clear picture of this. Abraham was willing to offer Isaac, the son that he waited for, at God's command. Now, again, this was the son of promise that God gave him that he waited years for. But when God commanded him in Genesis 22 to offer Isaac, he didn't flinch, according to the text. He trusted God to the point of believing that God would even raise Isaac from the dead, if necessary, to fulfill his promise. God had promised Abraham that through this son, all nations would be blessed. So Abraham assumed, God, if you're telling me to sacrifice him, the only logical conclusion is that you're going to raise him from the dead. Wow, what trust, what surrender to God. In that moment, Abraham was a living sacrifice. He was entirely given over to the will of God. And actually, in this story is where the word worship first appears in the Bible. The Hebrew word shakash, translated worship in Genesis 22. And I think this is very appropriate because we get a clear example of what worship is. Worship is exactly what Paul said. When our entire life is a sacrifice that's laid on the altar and consumed by God's will. Now, Paul calls this act of giving ourselves entirely to God a spiritual service of worship. Another way we could translate that would be, this is the way you ought to worship God in your hearts, or this is the way to worship God within yourself. Jesus told a Samaritan woman at the well that God is seeking people to worship him in spirit and truth. It's found in John 4, verse 23 to 24. I want to read that. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. You see, worship is first a matter of the inner man, the heart. God doesn't start with our outward appearance. He looks deeper than the songs we sing and the instruments we play. He searches for hearts that are perfect towards him. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Another important verse related to this is Psalms 51, verse 16 and 17. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. There's that inner man again. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So worship flows from our inner man. That's the starting point for this act of giving ourselves entirely to God. So we've talked about the first W, what it is. We've talked about the second W of worship, where it flows from. Now let's wrap things up and discuss the last W, and I think it's the most important one. Why we do it? Why do we worship? Now this one is easy to miss if the verse isn't read carefully. One of the keys to grasping God's word is resisting the urge to draw out meaning quickly. Every word matters. So you have to take your time. You have to make careful observations. We want to know what the text actually means, not what we think it means. And if you rush through a text in the Bible, you'll end up reading your own meaning into it. Now, in this verse, Romans 12:1, there's one word that helps us understand the last W, why we worship. It's the first word. therefore. That's it. It's the Greek word un. It's a conjunction. It's a transitional phrase. It could also be rendered as so then or as a result. The New Living Translation reads this way, and so. Paul is essentially saying, what I'm about to say to you now is a consequence or a result of what I just said. Or based on what I just said, do this. And Paul is urging his readers to respond to the message of the gospel as he explained in the letter in chapters 1 to 11. In those chapters, Paul presented the most essential truths of the gospel. He tells us in the beginning that all people, Jew and Gentile, have sinned and fall short of God's glory. We all fall short, and there's nothing that we can do in our own power to justify ourselves before God. So how are we justified? The conversation continues. By faith, we put our trust in what God did through Jesus Christ in his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. And when we put our faith in that, we become free from the power of sin. And as we walk out this life, we're sanctified. And we also learn about God's sovereignty and salvation in those chapters. The mercy that God has demonstrated to us in salvation is incomprehensible. Peter described it as great mercy. Listen to what 1 Peter 1:3 says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And it is this great mercy Paul is urging his readers to respond to with worship. You see, this is why we worship. Worship is not a response to a song. It's not a fancy musical arrangement. It's not the applause of the people that we're responding to, but it is a response to the great salvation God has brought to us by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we worship. That's why we give God our all, our heart, our soul, our mind, and our body. That's how we fulfill the law, when we love him with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul. That's it. Those are the three W's of worship. Worship is when we give ourselves entirely to God. It's when it flows from our heart. And it's when we understand why we do it, not in response to people, but in response to the great salvation that God has orchestrated for us through Jesus Christ, that we receive freely by faith. Well, I hope today's show blessed you. I hope that your heart was encouraged and challenged. We'll be back very soon with another episode. Until then, keep your eyes on God, keep your heart towards him, and keep serving God with all that you have. God bless. We'll talk to you soon.